If you have your Bibles tonight, if you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 48, verse 7, we're going to start there tonight, Isaiah chapter 48, and talking about things that that's important to us tonight. Glory to God. How many are excited tonight about, still excited about Jesus? Amen? You're born again? How many of you are born again? Several of you, and hopefully you get saved tonight before you leave here. Alrighty. All right. Isaiah 48. I don't think, did I send you anything yet? Did I send you something? Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk about guidance from God tonight. Guidance from God and supernatural inner guidance, I call this. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 7, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths that you should follow. Isaiah 48, verse 17, New Living Translation says, let me just go ahead and read it again in case you missed it, because I read it pretty fast, didn't I? I am the Lord your God. So Isaiah, the prophet, is talking. He's the mouthpiece for God. He's the one standing in the office of a prophet. In those days, the prophet was the only of the three of them that had the Spirit upon them and the anointing. And he said to them, he said, on behalf of God, I am the Lord your God who teaches you. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach you. In the 16th chapter of the book of John, he said, I will teach you, or he'll teach you all things. John 16 and verse 13, I believe. And then he says, teaches you what is good for you. Isn't that wonderful that God will lead you in good things? Amen. Amen. And he leads you, he says. Jesus said that Holy Spirit will lead you. That coincides with the New Testament, what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And lead you along the paths that you should follow. So we need to follow God. So we all have an inner guidance on the inside of us. We all have a gauge. Everybody say, I have a gauge. So you need to know that you have a gauge on the inside of you and that God wants to lead you. Lead you. We'll talk about that in a moment. So we have this guide, this gauge in our hearts, our spirits. Very often people take the wrong path because they are too busy rushing around and they're overriding and ignoring that gauge. You know, if a pilot ignores their gauges, they'll be in big trouble. I don't know about any about ships, but we have a few people that talk about ships once in a while here. And I think they have gauges too, don't they? Maybe. I don't know. I have a gauge in my car. It tells me how much gas I got. If I ignore that, I'm going to run out of gas. It happened to be Christmas morning on the cold winter road to Winnipeg. And I said, oh, I'll gas up next place. Finally, all of a sudden, I realized I was almost down to the wire here. And so every one of us has a gauge on the inside. Your spirit has a gauge. And so here the prophet Jeremiah also, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that he to walk and direct his steps. And here's another prophet. Now we got two prophets. We have Isaiah, now we got Jeremiah. He said that it's not in man to direct his own steps. You know, Psalm 37 says the steps of a good man or a righteous man, is directed by God. That God directs our steps. How many people know that God directs your steps? You know, He does direct your steps. He does lead you. He guides you. He'll teach you. He'll show you what to do. The writer of Proverbs 16:9, the New American Standard Bible, for all you Americans, we want to include everybody. We have a few Americans that are on here. And he says here, the mind of man, everybody say the minds of man. The mind of man plans his way. How many people know? You can think about, I talked to a student last night and they said, I like calculated risks. One person said here, right? You like to evaluate everything methodically in your mind on how to do things. But how many people know that sometimes God will lead you not according to what you think about things? Because it could look good. It could look good on the surface. But way around the corner somewhere where you can't see, there's a big dragon there. There's something there that you never thought about. And so you could have discussions with people and your friends and you try to make decisions and you're still not getting it right. And here it says, Proverbs says this, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Here we see that same thing again. The Lord directs his steps. The Lord wants to lead you. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. In other words, you know, God is going to lead you. Even if you make a mistake, he's going to bring you back in. Amen. So the writer of the Proverbs says that there are steps to be directed. So no matter how smart we may think we are, there's no way that we can fully live without the guidance of God. And so let's read two scriptures from Romans chapter 8. Let's read verse 14 and verse 16. Then we're going to go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, and verse 27. Do you have that now? Okay. And if you don't have it, it'll be on the screen for you. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's read verse 14. And we said to you, we give you a couple of prophets, and we give you, the Proverbs. Says that God wants to direct your steps. He wants to guide you. And so here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When I was in grammar school, when I was in English classes, I had trouble, really had trouble with my English. I had a hard time with deciphering how English works. How many of you had that problem? And so I would sit there, and my English teacher would talk to me about how things work and all that stuff. I didn't understand about, she said, write a sentence and write a paragraph. I didn't know how to actually write a paragraph. I didn't know how to write an actually complete sentence, like some of my students are learning how to write a complete sentence, okay? I didn't know how to actually give the terminology for every part of a sentence. The structure of a sentence, you know, where something ends and how to actually add something on and how does a sentence and another phrase of a sentence explains the one thing before and how to go on to a conjunction and go on and on and on. Okay, so I had a problem with that. But I learned about this, that you can actually say this backwards. It'll mean something. You can say the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So it says here, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. In other words, you take that apart and it says, every child of God are to be led by the Spirit of God. Everybody say this, every child of God are to be led By the Spirit of God. Let me just say something here for a moment. I want to interject right in here, because lots of people, they're not led by the Spirit of God. They're supposed to. They're led by how they feel. They're led by their past experiences. They're led by greed. They're led by their past negative experiences. They're led by hurts. They're led by their lust. They're led by money, led by position, led by people. Okay? And God says, I want to lead you. And a lot of times the calculation is completely off your natural inclination of your culture, of your maybe subculture, the kind of culture, subculture you belong to. And you know what I'm talking about, subculture, maybe the kinds of people you hang around with. You're usually, have a certain kind of culture. If you're like, I'm not sure. I think about different ones here that are belonging to a certain group of people. And they have a certain lingo. And you feel comfortable with them. You feel comfortable, so you go to those people in a traditional sense, how to be led, and so you find frustration and delay and wonder why God's not blessing you the way you should. And you're finding out you're bumping your head with people, you're bumping your head against circumstances and things, and not you're being frustrated, and you don't have no peace, you're restless, you're fearful, you have anxiety issues, and you don't know what's up because you're not comfortable. But God says, I'm going to lead you. So if God's going to lead you, there shouldn't be a whole lot of frustration and fear. Right? Like God led me to marry my wife. We haven't, we haven't had a fight like we used to. When we first got married, we fought because I had to learn that I was very selfish and insecure. A lot of you think you're tough, but you're not as tough as you think you are. I know Dave thought he was tough till he met Kathy, and Kathy's only 4'9". I thought, man, I'm just, but we understand that when God leads you, you have peace. I never have to worry if my wife's going to leave me if I come home one night and she's gone, she left a note that I'm going off, running off somewhere else. We never fight about tithing or going to church or giving offerings. Never had to fight to go to Bible school, move to another town or go to another country. We never fought about it. We just prayed and believed God. She had the witness. I had the witness. So I know God led me to marry my wife because I heard him say, here's a wife for you. And so what if I was just marrying somebody because I just want to marry someone or just because I want to do something? So it wouldn't work. So we need to be led. And it's not always that easy because you can't find scripture and verse every time to do something. There's no scripture in the Bible that says move to Current River. Move to West Fort. Where's that new place you live in? What's that section called? Okay, it's over by the airport, more near the airport. Okay. By the way, I'm looking at myself in the monitor. I look huge in this. Show me from up here. Okay, sorry about that. So anyway, ask yourself, am I being led by the Spirit of God? Or are my friends leading me? Or is my culture leading me? Or is money leading me? Or is fame leading me? Or is anxiety leading me? Or not? Or if I want to go to do something, am I prevented from something? Am I prevented from the popular culture? It's not popular to go to Wednesday night service, not especially in Thunder Bay. I don't know of any other church that has service on a Wednesday night. Sunday to Sunday is a long time to be out of church without your friends. And we cut out Sunday night services because we were doing it out of tradition for many, many years. So we kind of changed it around a little bit. So we were scared to make that decision. So we can't be afraid of making decisions. So I want you to go to verse 16. This is how God will lead every one of you. Verse 16, if we're led by the Spirit of God, this is how God will lead you. We know for a fact from verse 14 that God leads all of his children this way. He's not going to lead you by circumstances. He's not going to lead you by people. He's sure not going to lead you by prophecy. People say, what? You know? Well, somebody told me, prophesied to me to go into the ministry. It's wrong. Nobody should be led to go into any ministry or do anything or marry somebody or sell a car or go into business. You should never be led by prophets or anybody who says they prophesy. You should go into a marriage, go into a business, and travel and do this and buy that. Should never be led by prophecy. Now, God could confirm things by prophecy that you're doing the right thing, but he won't lead you that way. If I gave you a word of knowledge, it's because you already know what God wanted you to do. Amen. That's how God will lead you in the first place. But he may not have a prophet and say, you know, this is what God wants you to do, and lead you, and confirm it. Okay? So there's some things that, you know, he might give you some details you don't know, and you say, wow, that's great, you know. So, I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God, making decisions in life. And verse 14 or 16, let's go to verse 16 says, for the Spirit, that same Spirit, Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, he joins with our spirit, that's the NLT, to affirm that we are children of God. Let's go to the, I want to read the King James. This is where I love the King James. Some places I love the King James, and sometimes the King James doesn't really give enough for the average person to understand. So the Holy Spirit affirms something. Another way you could say the Holy Spirit bears witness. That's very accurate. He bears witness. And I've read it this way. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in you is a co-witness. He's a co-pilot. He's not there to do everything for you. And he's called a helper. He'll come along and help you with things. But the Spirit of God will bear witness with your or our spirit. In other words, your human spirit that got born again. That's the only part that you're born again, is your spirit on the inside. That's the only part that's born again. And you know you're born again because you love church. Right? When you're born again, you love church. When I got born again, man, I just can't wait to go to the next service. How many of you were like that? Eh? Just want to go, oh, I just can't wait for Sunday. Can't wait for Wednesday. Oh, Bible study's coming up. I'm going to sing my heart out. Praise God. Okay? So bears witness. So there's something inside your spirit called the witness. And you have to be very familiar with the witness. So the witness, that's called the intuition. It's also called a knowing. A knowing. Some people say it's like a green light inside of me. Brother Higgins says it's like a real velvety like feeling on the inside of you. Just sense something good in there. You say, oh, this is right. When my wife and I went to look for a house, we were looking for a house, and we couldn't find a house. We wanted to live around this area. And so we just tried. We called a real estate agent. We said, let's find a Christian agent. And so we found a Christian agent, and he couldn't find anything. And so we prayed. We said, Lord, what can we do? And so we were there, and my wife just happened to look on the, I don't know if it was one of these TV things that show different ads on television. Well, she just saw that, and she saw the paper. It said, there's a house over here, just over here on Black Bay Road. This is like the kind my dad would build. And so we went into that house with the realtor and saw all the nice windows everywhere, saw wood everywhere. Oh, my wife said, oh, just like my dad would build it. Nice pine and cedar and wooden floor. This is good. And so we both went in there and we just said, this is it. We looked at each other, and just on the inside of us, that velvety feeling, like, you know, this is it. And we said, let's buy it. We're gonna put, you know, our bid in right now. So we put the bid in, and then we went home. And no, you kind of, you know, you, I mean, you always think that somebody's gonna put a better bid. So anyway, so Holy Spirit, God's going to lead you by the witness. So number one, God wants to lead everybody here by His Spirit. You have to understand this. God is not going to lead you by prophets or prophecies. Now, that's contrary to a lot of people, what they learn, from a lot of things. So if you come from a background or a church background or anything else that says otherwise, then we're teaching what the Bible says. Under the new covenant, we're new covenant people. We're not to be led by, you know, they say fleeces. When you put out something, I'm going to put out this, and God, just confirm this. Right, you know, right? Make sure tonight when I go to bed that all the dogs bark in my neighborhood and I'll know that's you. All right? And it's not dogs, but cats are mewing everywhere, so it can't be God. So anyway, so the Spirit of God is gonna lead all of us. We should expect God to lead us. So every one of us that's Christian, according to the Bible, we have to know that God will lead us. Because Jesus said it. Isaiah said it. Jeremiah said it. The prophet said it. Paul is saying it. He said, God wants to lead us. How many witnesses do you want? How many scriptures do you want? We'll give you another one in a minute. Okay. So that witness on the inside of you, we all should learn to get in touch with the witness. We should all get in touch with our spirit. Brother Higgins says, too many times Christians are just absorbed by their outward nature. They're absorbed by only what their mind says or their feelings or their own thoughts or other people's impressions, other people's opinions and what everybody else is doing. And so they succumb. And I know I've been a pastor for, you know, a few years. And I sat with a lot of people who said, they come to my office and say, God told me. Game over. They'll say, you know, I don't care what you see from here, Pastor. I'm not saying anything to you. I just say, okay. I learned, you know, what Brother Hagin used to say. I just said, just let them go. Unless the Lord tells you, let them do what they want to do. Because it doesn't matter what you say. I learned that. I avoided lots of heartache. And sometimes it took years for people to come back and say something. But eventually they learned. After so many thousands of dollars, so many heartaches, so many relationships, and maybe sickness, and now they understand. So, God wants to use the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit is going to lead you. So under the Old Testament, everybody say Old Testament. Say Old Testament. You know, old is old. You don't have to use it anymore. Right? Old is new. Now we have the New Testament. Everybody say New Testament. Say New Testament. So there's two testaments, Old Testament and New Testament. If there was a New Testament, like the Hebrew says, there wouldn't be any reason to have the new if the old was no good. That's what I read. I studied the book of Hebrews. He said, God gave a New Testament. In the Old Testament, only three officers will have the Spirit of God come upon them. Which was it? The king? Huh? The prophet and the priest. That's the only ones who will have the Holy Ghost on them. And so if you want a word from the Lord, you have to go to them and say, what thus says the Lord? He said, wait a minute. We'll have a little meal here and see if God says something, I'll tell you. If he doesn't say anything, then we won't say anything. How many of you read that? I've read the Bible hundreds of times. Some scriptures hundreds of times. Dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I read the Bible over and over from start to finish. And I know that. I saw it in there. And so Bible school students, if you're trying to trick me, I know my Bible. Just think, if you're a professor, you know, you give them a textbook, you say, you know when somebody's trying to, what they say, BS you. Do you use that language in church? BS. It means no good. Yeah? They try to lie to you, right? So the Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't tell lies. He'll show you something. Okay, so under the New Testament, everybody say new. So New Testament, the Spirit of God is not just given to three people. He's given to everybody. The Holy Spirit is given to everybody. Because Jeremiah said one day, in Jeremiah 33, he said, I'm going to put my Spirit in everybody. From the least to the greatest, everybody's going to know me. That's what Jeremiah said. You won't go to your neighbor and say, hey, what's God saying? What is he doing? No, everybody's going to know me. That's what he said. Everybody's going to know me. So every one of us is going to, well, if you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost inside you to making decisions. And so this witness, you're going to have to learn and walk with people who understand this. And you might talk to them and fellowship with them, and they get to know you. Then you get to know them. And you say, hey, what do you think about this? So they'll help you. Don't you think, I've been a pastor for just as long as I've been married. And, it's going to be, 36 years now? But, let's say 35 was pretty much, we went right into the ministry right away. And don't you think I would know something a little bit about running a church? Nobody doesn't think so? Okay, so I noticed back here, I see Archie in the back. Archie builds houses. Your dad built houses. And he never went out and just said one day, I'm going to build a house. And I'm going to build it right here, right now. But no, he had to accumulate information. Had to follow somebody, maybe learn how to build, who build houses and stuff like that, and learn. And you think after all these years, I don't know how old Archie is and how many houses he's built and how many hours he spent. But I don't go to tell Archie, I'll tell you how to build your houses. All right? Well, he's the expert. And sometimes people come and tell me things about church. They tell, I'll tell you what to do. And they just got saved like last year. Don't have enough respect for the man of God. I don't tell anybody. I never go to him and say, hey, you know, this is how you do it. Joe's been a carpenter for years. Construction guy. He's like a builder. And I don't say, Joe, this is how you should do it. No, he knows what he's doing. And we can't tell God how to lead us. Right? And so sometimes we tell God how to do his job. Don't you know that God will know what to do? He said, if I'm going to lead you by the Spirit, and this is the way I want to do it, this is how we should do it, this is how we're going to do it. And I was reading my students, their assignments, and how they were led to come to Bible school, and how they led to this church, and I'm just amazed how God leads people. Amazed. Scripture by scripture, how God would lead somebody to somewhere. And I know that I'm a pastor. If I'm a pastor, surely he's going to lead people here. Or bring them in and we can catch them. Catch people, you know, catch fish. So this witness, we're going to have to learn how to use this witness. Let's go to Galatians. This is not in the notes, but I've feel we go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's go to verse 5, where it talks about when it says walking by the Spirit, the flesh and the Spirit, there's a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. You remember that scripture? I'm thinking about maybe is it 24? 15? What about 16? 5:16. See, I was getting it, so I was just around the corner there. Right. So I want you to understand this. Okay, so you could be led. God wants to lead you by the Spirit. Not intellectually. Like some people always like, I'm going to calculate this. Okay, so let me just say, God says, I believe, I happen to be one of these guys that believe that tithing is the Bible. That under the new covenant, it's still a new covenant practice. I understand tithing more than ever did in my entire life. I studied it for a long time. I used to be scared to teach it. I'm not afraid to teach it anymore because I know what the Bible says. It's not a legal thing. It's like you can pray if you want to pray. You don't have to pray, but you should pray. It's in the Bible. Brother Hagin says, the one thing about, in church, if you talk about people's kids, you get growled up. If you talk about money, same thing. So, first of all, you have to understand for fact, according to Jeremiah, according to Isaiah, according to the writer of Proverbs, according to what Jesus said in John 16 and 13, according to Romans 14, Verse 8, 14, and 16, and we're going to go to Proverbs 20, 27 in a moment, that God will lead you by your Spirit. So the only part of you that got born again or that became new at salvation was your spirit. Your inner man is brand new. And God put his Holy Spirit in you, just like Jeremiah 33 says, I'll put a new heart in you. I'll put a brand new spirit in you. And you could trust that Spirit because the Holy Ghost lives inside you. And you could learn to follow that Spirit because you're no longer dominated by the devil. Are you following so far? Okay, so your spirit is brand new. But your old nature, your body is not born again yet. One day we'll have a brand new body. It's all over the New Testament. Read it. One day, we're going to have a brand new body. This whole world will be brand new. The trees will be, the waters and everything else will be brand new. Amen? It's going to be good. The clouds will be born again. Everything will be born again. I don't know if there'll be clouds, but it'll be nice. I'm a little bit excited tonight. I didn't have breakfast. Because tonight we're going to eat. Okay, so should we? Okay, let's go ahead and read this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is he talking about? First, let me tell you something. And I learned this from being a student of the Bible and following men of God that understand the Bible longer and studied the Bible longer than I ever had. Longer than I ever was born back then. And still, their ministries were longer than I've been alive. They've been alive doing ministry. Walk in the Spirit. This is where some people get off and they start getting real, like, a little woozy. They get a little bit excited because walking in the Spirit, man, I mean, that's, you know, that's where it gets a little excited. I'm getting hyperventilated here. Right? So walking in the Spirit, how many of you pray in the Spirit? When you pray in the Spirit, that means you're praying in tongues. That's how the Bible interprets it. When you pray in tongues, the Scripture says you're praying, you're in the Spirit. So the best way to be in the Spirit is pray in the Holy Ghost, and the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more you're likely to be led. Brother Hagin says, most of the time when God led me is when I was praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. I like saying that. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Wouldn't that be a good song? Right? Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Okay, so say, walk in the Spirit. That's the question. Does God want you to walk in the Spirit? Does that mean like you're going to be weird? If you're walking in a store and you bump into somebody, be careful, guys. I'm walking in the Spirit now. Like sometimes we get weird, eh? Right? I know you've been weird sometimes. What is she doing? She's my barometer. When I know the Holy Ghost is moving, then I can. When I start seeing her shake, I say, "Okay." I look. I have certain barometers set in the church somewhere. Okay, back there, back here. It's getting deeper as it goes further back there. Walk in the Spirit. So you see the word Spirit is capitalized. Spirit is capitalized. But when you analyze the Scripture, when you understand this, the word Spirit is not talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay? So walk in the Spirit doesn't mean that you're walking in the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost, well, it can mean that, but in the Scripture and contextually, it's not talking about walking in the Holy Ghost. He's talking to you that you should walk by your inner man. That's what he's talking about. Walking by your inner man, walking by that witness, as you would even terminize like that, walking in your spirit, walking by inner man, walking by the nature that was born again. So walk in the Spirit, that's walking by your inner man, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh is not born again. Okay? So it says there, now, you know, some of you might think, you know, this is far, I've never heard this before. Well, listen. You know, I never understood this before until I understood it. It was so confusing before about this stuff. Walk in the Spirit. Oh, man. You know. Verse 17 is next, right? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you would. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's like having a punch out with your outward man. That's not what he's talking about. That's, in my mind, I used to be like that. I used to think, oh, I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit here. Come on. I want to drink a bottle of wine here. Right? I need some talk. I want to go sleeping around tonight. Come on. That's not what it's talking about. See, some of you have to act it out because you want. And you do it anyway in your home. And you use scripture. When I'm reading Scripture, when I'm reading Scripture, man, it's alive. It's not like boring. Like, when I'm reading Scripture, like, everything comes alive. I think about blind Bartimaeus just sitting there. And I think about blind Bartimaeus. He's just waiting for, like, Jesus to come by, you know. Is he coming by? I can't see. Where is he? If you knew about that, he's going to get healed, right? So this is not about Holy Spirit and you fighting. It's your born-again nature and your outward nature are fighting to make decisions. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. And so here's a fight going on. You're trying to make a decision, but your outward man and your inner man is having a fight here. Your outward man, he's calculating everything about what to do in life. But your inward man is being led by the Spirit of God, and sometimes in some things there's no calculation. You can't say, okay, should I marry John or should I marry Jim? Okay, John has money and Jim has none. He has some but not enough. Right? Huh? Well, it should be. Verse 18. But if you be led in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Let's read some more. Let's read a little quicker now because time is going by. The works of the devil. Is that what he's talking about? The works of your neighbor. No, the works of the flesh. What's your flesh? Yeah, your body, your natural man. And he has certain kind of things. So he talks about which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. That's sexual sins. There's some people, when they're making decisions in life, they're moved by their lower nature. They want to be friends with you just because they want something from you, if you're a girl or woman, or man or woman, whatever. Let's get together tonight. Let's have some coffee. He's got something else in mind. You can't trust your flesh. No matter how long you've been born again. Yeah, you can't, just say, well, I'm okay here. Let's go some more. We don't want to get too deep in that. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, seditions. I don't understand all these things because I'm not a King James guy. I have to go and read a little bit closer to that. Envying, murders, I understand. Murder, drunkenness, revelings, such a like, etc. I tell you before, holding the past, time past, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean they don't get born again? Well, that means they're already born again. It's just that they're not going to enjoy the things in life. They're just going to miss the kingdom of God things forever. But yeah, you know, if you reject Jesus, you just say, I don't want Jesus anymore. That'd be horrible for someone to do that. So let's go back and read in the, let's say, a New Living, and give maybe more of a current understanding of this. We have 6 minutes after over here. So let's go. Let's read it in, let's go 20. Let's read in NLT. Can we go one more, 19? Is that NLT? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, affliction. All these things over here, as you can see, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other things like this. Okay, so your body, I mean, you could attach and see these things in many other ways. We can be led anyway. Our outward nature wants to do what they want to do. And you can be led just because you're mad. You do things because you're mad. You're mad at somebody. So I'm going to do this and do that, whatever. You're mad. You say things. You're led by your flesh. You get into trouble. Some people get mad. They go get drunk. Other people do different other things. They go and have sex with somebody. Yeah. I say, okay, I'm going to cheat on you. You cheat on me, I cheat on you. That happens. I'm talking about being led by your nature, your sinful nature. Like this is, we need to teach on this stuff. Nobody just wants to teach on it. But it's there. It's all in there. Like Brother Hagin, it's all in there. So these things are there. Now go to Proverbs 20:27. So we can allow our unrenewed nature to lead us in life. Sometimes I tell people they come here from another church, and I say, "So why you come here?" Well, don't tell me right away, but they're usually mad at somebody. Well, somebody over there, I don't like them. You better go back there, mend your relationship. Right? You don't run away. Keep running away every time. Somebody offends you, you run to another church. God wants to lead you. Right? So let's do the King James first. Is this okay? I mean, is this somebody like, oh, I don't like this. I've never been there before. Well, there's a lot of places I've never been to before. This is gonna be a new way. Right? So the spirit of man, what is that? The spirit of man is your heart, right? Your heart, not the thing that pumps your blood, but it's your spirit. The one that got born again. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The candle of the Lord, in other words, says God's going to enlighten you and give you illumination, searching all the inward parts of the ability. Your spirit is going to be enlightened to lead you in the things you need to know about life. Paul prayed that your spirit, I pray that your spirit will be enlightened so that you will know. There's so many things in life that blind us, prevent us from walking with God. So many things. Lots of things that could just prevent you from being in the perfect will of God and just keep you stuck in the mud. You're going through the same thing, doing the same things over and over. You haven't changed. It's like that for years and years. You just want to do your own thing. But you want to follow God at the same time. Sooner or later, we need to turn to God. And say, Lord, and this is where we pray the prayer of when we give our lives to the Lord, like you get born again. And there's so many times you pray this prayer, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of dedication, the prayer of submission to God. You say, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me, but I know I'm making. I want this job here. I want to work here. I want to have a job. Please lead me and guide me. And I know this job that you showed me, I don't want to take it. But I feel like I want to go that direction. But then again, I don't want to go that direction. But you show me what to do, and He will show you. He'll direct you, give you illumination, and just going to check on the inside of you, consult with that, and maybe. After that, you talk to your friend. Because God helps you with your friends too. But that's not the number one way to do it. Don't do it because your friends tell you to do it. Like I was telling the students, when the Lord spoke to me about going to Rhema, I went to two people in my life that was most important to me spiritually. I went to them and I put it before them and said, you know, I just felt the Lord saying to me to go to Bible school. To leave, to go to the United States, to go to Bible school. And both, one of them says, no, don't do it. And had told me their opinion of it. And the other guy was not encouraged me, but he said, you know, didn't encourage me and didn't discourage me. Perhaps they didn't know. So two people didn't say, yes, do it. And I wanted them so much to tell me, do it. Here's a check. And so I felt in my spirit, I just felt in my heart, my wife was the second one that said, yes, let's go ahead and do it. I just sensed, you know, let's go ahead. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me financially to do it. So what are we going to do? We don't have any money. It's what the Lord will provide. He's going to provide somehow. I don't know how He's going to do it. We're going to provide. So where's Pastor Steve? I told Pastor Steve. So we're actually going to start. We're going to start the plan to build. So we're going to we're hiring finding somebody to do the pictures for us to build. So I just feel we're going to go that direction. Right? We're going to do it. This is not a permanent thing. This here we got. This is not a permanent thing. We didn't want to be here permanently. You think we want to be in this crooked room permanently? We dress it up nicely. We're believing for the future. We see, like people with vision, see the future. Right? We see more. We see your children's children. We see people coming from every country coming in. I saw that in 1991. I saw people from other countries coming in. And we're trying to prevent them from coming in right now. People from Africa are saying, we want to come. We said, no, stay away. But we're fighting with one guy right now that just wants to come. I want to come to the Bible school. I'm bringing these guys. We're coming in. And so, they want to come. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming from China. They're coming from Finland. Your cousins are coming. They're coming from the north, right? They're coming. And one lady here the other day, she came into church for the first time, sat in the front row here. She was like amazed Sunday morning. Oh, that's what it feels like to be here. Wonderful. These guys are blessed. She said, I always wanted to come here, right? But you get to come here, right? So when I'm gone, you say, man, I wish that old guy came back. Remember that old guy? One of these days when your kids are older. He said, I remember Roma. I know he's gone now. I remember Jean, too. She used to sit in the front row. Ernie used to eat chicken. They finally got to him. Let's go ahead and pray, shall we? I just want to encourage you. Right? Yeah. To not just be led by outward man or that anybody lead you except God himself. I was telling my friend, he died last year. Suddenly died. I said, hey, chump. That's what he called it. He said it back home, but chump. We called everybody chump. Hey, chump. I said, who showed you how to play the guitar? He said to me, God himself, Jim. He showed me how to play the guitar. Well, that's good, is it? Praise God. I know there's people in heaven right now. They're rejoicing in heaven, our family. Everybody stand. Thank you, Jesus. Are you sad you came? Yeah? Praise God. Where's the Jerry? Oh, he's there. Jerry, sorry about that. You look different with a camera on. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and thank God that he leads us? We're going to expect him to lead us. Father, lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to thank you tonight that you're leading me. You're guiding me. Hallelujah. We can just expect every day to be guided. Every day, he's going to lead me. I get up in the morning, I know he's going to lead me. Sometimes I don't even know he's leading, but he's leading me, and he's working on things I cannot see. He's working on my prayers that I prayed last year, and the things that I'm believing about, what I cast on to him. The Bible says, Psalm 38, verse 8 says, the Lord will work out his plans for me. He's working on the plans right now. Things that you threw on him, he's working on it right now. The song says, even though I don't see it, I believe it. Even though I don't feel it, I believe it. He's working on it right now. It doesn't seem like it. He's doing it right now. He will never leave you. He will never fail you. He's faithful. He's a faithful God. He will do what he said he'll do. He's not like you and me or someone else. He'll always do what he said he will do. So we thank him. We thank him for that. Lord, we thank you. You said in your word, we'll not cast away our confidence, because you said in Hebrews 10:23, that you will perform your word. And you're watching over your word. You said to perform it. And you're going to make good on your word. And I know you've led me. And it doesn't seem like it sometimes. Things are coming this way and that way. And the devil tried to get me off guard and try to get to my flesh. I will get mad, get resentful, feel sorry for myself, get discouraged. But Lord, I'm walking with you. Your word never fails. Never fails. Never fails. His word will never fail. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to bed tonight thanking you, because you're working on the plan. You're working on the plan right now. The world might say something else. People might say something else. But it doesn't matter. You're working on the plan right now. You're working on a plan. And so right now, together, we just give you our hearts. We said, your word told us through Isaiah, Jeremiah, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said that through the other men of God in the Bible, the Proverbs and Psalms. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Psalm 37. Thank you. Thank you. Even though we don't understand it, we're going to obey our hearts. You said in your word, I remember early, Lord, when it was time to give you part of that money in my life, I remember making the decision to tithe years ago when I first got born again. I didn't know how it was going to work. I didn't know how it was going to affect my bills and my home and my spending. But I remember, Lord, you remember the time? I got on my knees in that room. I said, Lord, I put it before you. I said, Lord, I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to give you. I'm going to do this. This is going to be a lifestyle for me. I'm going to give you 10%. Within a few weeks, months, all my bills were paid. All my debts were canceled. Every one of them was canceled. But supernaturally, I didn't know, my mind could not fathom it. I couldn't calculate it. I didn't know how to do it. But I took a step of faith. And I trust you. And the money came in. And the bills were paid. And since that day, from this day, I've never had to do without. Never had to do without. It came, looked like it was close, but you always came in. The money was always there. Was always there. It's going to continue to be there. You're going to still be my provider. You're still going to be my provider. I don't understand it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to still give. I remember there's times in this church when we had no money. And I went to Gene. I said, Gene, how much money we got? And I said, okay, take that money and give it over here. And the money came in, and money kept coming in. And money kept coming in. I've had people come to me from this church, young mothers, mother with mother's allowance, and gave me thousands of dollars, and yet they walked away and lived and had all their bills paid, even today. And you saw me, Lord, when that woman came to me and said, here's $7,000. That was in 1991. Here's $7,000. No one ever gave me $7,000. A single mother? You kidding? Come and give me $7,000 with those children? And here's for that building. And I didn't want to take it, but you said, take it. Just like that woman. It didn't make sense when the prophet said, go to the widow woman who will provide for you. It didn't make sense for the prophet to go to a widow woman who would provide. Why didn't you send him to the richest woman in that town? And yet you sent him to the widow woman who had nothing, is about to die. And she gave. And she never ran out in the time of famine. How does that happen? I couldn't calculate it. I couldn't make it out of my mind. I couldn't make it out of my mind to give 10%. Oh, I didn't know. I couldn't figure it out. But I stopped calculating and started to obey your word. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. When you said to go to Rhema, you said, go to Rhema. I had no money. I had no money, nothing, no money. And I said, I'm going. And I went, and you provided the money. Thank you. And there's many people in this room right now are deciding to make decisions to give, to serve, to walk with you, and to leave the lifestyle that they always do. Just like Abraham, he left his home, left his family, left his culture, and went into a place where God, you would show him a new way to live. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. When I walked out of that church for the last time, and I came to you, I said, Lord, I want to serve you. It's been all those years that you took care of me. And I didn't always understand. I didn't always know. But you will continue to do that for the rest of my life. You said in your word, I'll lead you for the rest of your life until you take your last breath. I'll be there for you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, I look to you. You are my guidance. You put your Holy Spirit in me to lead me and guide me. I will not be shaken of the things around me, but I'll be moved by my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me. When things get confusing, I will pray in the Spirit and learn about that witness and follow that witness as long as I live. In Jesus' name, amen.